Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Braves are up 3-1 in the NLCS last night, putting it on the Dodgers, chasing Clayton Kershaw, getting an amazing start from Bryce Wilson. Tonight, it's going to look a little different. As we mentioned, A.J. Minter starting for the Braves, and this is what we call a bullpen game, guys. They were going to see how last night turned out. They didn't have to make a decision on maybe trying to pitch Freed on short rest, Mike. So Now you're going to try to get through a game with a rested bullpen, see how things shake out. If the offense stays hot, guys, we'll be right back in this game tonight. I don't think there's any question, Mike, but the thing is going to come down to is how long you stay with certain guys tonight.
Right. Last night was just unbelievable to watch. And as we said, this is where, you know, baseball managers over the course of a season, yeah, I mean, there might be a time you think a guy left a guy in too long or, you know, but still, it kind of washes out over 162 games. But when you get in these moments, Carl, where everything is dissected, you go, uh-oh, and Dave Roberts getting heat for leaving Clayton Kershaw in too long. How about that sixth inning? You know, I was joking around on Twitter, Carl. You get an RBI, and you get an RBI. You know, Acuna with that infield single, Freddie doubles to right, Azuna doubles, Darno, we had a couple outs, and then Swanson. How about Dansby, man? I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, Dansby was so clutch last night. Riley singled last night. Pache, again, seeing him looking so clutch. It just kept on going. So it was just an amazing inning. And you're saying to yourself, keep it going. Because I know we have this feeling the Dodgers are the boogeyman. They can put up a 10 spot anytime. But, man, what an inning.
Here's where I think Dave Roberts screwed up this series. This is where he'll catch heat. It's not practical thinking, but this is why you get paid all the big bucks to manage. In the game we got blown out, Mike, Urias, he's nasty. That's the big lefty that they threw out there. By the time he stepped on the hill, Dodgers were up 11-0. You could have allowed him to face three hitters and pulled him and had him rested in case of the scenario that has now played out for the Dodgers. Right. But instead, you left him in there for five innings in a game that was 11-0 by the time he stepped on the hill. Now, you're going to say, what manager does that? This is where you think out of the box. This is where you go, you know what? We may only get Clayton one game this series. I need Urias, who's been filthy, and I may need to start him. I'm going to go ahead and let him face three batters, and we're going to pull him, and we'll let our bullpen get some work in. But he didn't do that. And so if they end up losing this game, or this series, should I say, Roberts is going to catch heat anyway because the Dodgers are the second highest payroll in baseball. But it's why did you leave a guy in that you could have used in your rotation in later games that could have shut the Braves down potentially? You saw what he did the other night, and instead you left him in there for no damn reason. Why?
Because he's Dave Roberts, because that's unfortunately for him, he's a guy that's got this rep. I mean, there's a guy that, you know, we've talked about the pressure on the Braves. And again, once you get past all the nonsense with Fox, and again, Steve Coonan is going to join us later today. Steve gave us bonus Coonan earlier in the week, and you and I were lamenting all the nonsense after the Braves, you know, gave up a few runs to make it obviously a one-run game. But, you know, how the guys were spinning it on the Fox pregame show, look, they're trying to draw interest. But it used to be, see, what I'm thinking is, how did the Braves become the Tampa Bay Rays or the Pittsburgh Pirates? We had the superstation for years. You know, for years we are. Why do you think, you know, there's Braves fans that made the trip? But you've got like hundreds of fans in Texas that are down there, Carl, in the Metroplex that are Braves fans because we were a brand. We still are. We just, you know, TBS obviously pivoted to comedy. But there is a heritage with the Braves with the flyover states. So, I mean, I still think we're a draw. But, I mean, God, the onus on the Dodgers has been practically, you know, like sickening at times for a lot of fans.
It is, and that's why I hope we finish this thing. I really do. I hope we are able to finish it and move on, and we can put that behind us. We are in command of this series, but we have to finish it. Listen, it's been the mantra of this show. since we lost the Super Bowl. And that's for all of our teams, because that moment, as we've said many times, unfortunately has defined our city. And it's the reason why you feel sometimes that things are going to slip away, right, that you feel like this is not our moment. So whether you believe it or not, and I certainly don't, but our teams have to finish these big moments. And this is a big one tonight. So we'll see where it goes, guys. It could go seven. If it does, remember, no rest. So this will go into the weekend. We could see a game seven over the weekend. And I hope that's not the case. I hope we're celebrating tonight. It's Dukes and Bell. Dave Archer is going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes to talk about the Falcons. By the way, I don't know what to expect this weekend. I really don't. I'll tell you what I know about the Vikings, and we'll talk to Arch. But, Mike, if you were to tell me that all of a sudden this team is going to snap and get right, things right all of a sudden because the coach got fired, I'm just not a believer in that. I think there are tendencies that have happened with this football team that continue to happen until they don't. Then that's when I become a believer of some of the things that have played out. But I really don't, guys. I know some people are like, I don't care, blah, blah, blah. I care because I want to see where this team goes. And we said you should care because this is ultimately going to help the decision of some of the things that may play out moving forward. And we're talking about players. I'm not talking about the coaching staff. That'll work itself out. I'm talking about guys that you feel like he should be here, he shouldn't be here. We should be watching everything with this team moving forward over the next 11 games to really evaluate everybody, Mike.
I talked to a buddy of mine up in Minnesota who does a rock radio, and they were saying that, you know, we had a conversation about windows, how the Falcons' window, I say, has been missed, and he was saying, like, they're feeling like they're at the end of their window with Kirk Cousins, and, you know, here's Dalvin Cook banged up, and he'll be able to bounce back, but they've gone to the playoffs in 15, 17, and 19. You know, and obviously the best run was when they lost. They beat the Saints and they lost in the conference championship to the Eagles. So they won the Saints again last year. You guys know that overtime game. But I mean, if you're a Vikings fan, they got to punch through to the next level. So there's a lot of, you know, feelings like are we missing this? Because this start this year has been abysmal for them with all the issues they've had.
It's a great point. I won't say they're the Saints because the Saints have had home field and they've been favored. But the Vikings are in that same category where you've gotten there now a couple of times, even with the miracle, and you weren't able to finish. And close the door. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Speaking of Adam Thielen, let's hear from him talking about our Falcons.
You know, it's obviously still early in the season. You know, obviously it's not the start that we wanted or they wanted. You know, in this league, it's doesn't matter really your record. These teams are good, and you have to be ready to play at any moment because it doesn't matter the records. These teams, there's a lot of talent on them. These guys want to win, and it's always a tough battle no matter who you're playing.
Obviously, our record is bad right now, and you know, when you look at it, he can say records don't matter. I hope the Vikings come in here thinking that we are just terrible and they give a lackluster effort, Mike, because usually when you're playing bad teams, you know how this goes. Think about us a few years ago when we went to Cleveland. We had guys saying publicly they didn't feel like we were ready and prepared, specifically DeVondre Campbell, who's not here anymore.
Off a three-game win streak. Remember, that's
right.
Why the season was losing. Our most complete game that year was a win over the Redskins at the time.
So yeah. It happens. You know what I mean? I mean, they're looking at us and they're like, ooh, and their coaches got fired. So I hope that's how they're viewing it, and the Falcons come in ready to play. We will see.
Hey, Julian, by the way, sorry to cut you off. I just saw this. It broke about 10 minutes ago while we were talking earlier to Charles and stuff. Julio Jones does not have an injury designation, according to our buddy Jason Butt, now with the AJC. So Julio, limited at practice, but he will play Sunday. 11 will be back against the Vikings.
Okay, that's good news. Let's hope we can get something from him, man. I mean,
that's what he's paid for.
Well, we're five games in. I mean, I know he's been hurt. Like I said, I can't evaluate you when you're hurt. But if you're going to be out there, man, I got to get something from you. Let's hear Thielen talk about the Falcons and the whole shutting down the facility. Are they worried? Are the Vikings worried about that stuff?
It doesn't affect us at all right now. We'll see what happens. But for us, it's just continue to, you know, prepare for the game just like we would any other week. And, you know, we'll figure it out as we go. This season... really any season, you know, you just prepare, you do what you can, you control what you can control, and you let everything else just kind of play itself out. And I think that's the best way to go about it each week.
I don't think it'll have an effect. Falcons, as we said, back at practice. But you wonder what other guys think when these facilities get shut down. And then we got to play on Sunday. And you're thinking, okay, somebody on that team have it, and then they're going to infect me. It has to go through the back of your mind. But he's right. At the end of the day, you got to go play. Meanwhile, Cowboys quarterback situation. Mike McCarthy, Mike, talking about transitioning to Andy Dalton.
Andy also has a lot of experience being in the number one chair, so I think this will be a seamless transition for him to get ready, to prepare, and for us to get the whole offense prepared with him in front.
He added, you finishing that? Can I have that? No, sir, that's my sub. So, all right, the gym job.
You act like Mike is always stuffing his face.
Every time I see the guy, look, we all need to, present company included, me, we all need to lose a few LBs, but I just get a kick. I always just imagine that he's got like a turkey sub in his pocket. Anyway, the Cowboys with the gym job. Now, obviously, Andy Dalton, people don't really expect much, but who was it years ago? Bernie Kosar kind of had like just enough to help the Cowboys when Troy Aikman went down a few times. So, I mean, what do you expect of a ginger?
Capable, just not spectacular, right? And if you're going to tell me, well, he doesn't need to be spectacular, well, tell Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers that, because that's what those guys are doing. Right. They're being spectacular right now, and their teams are unbeaten. And in the playoffs, if you're going to beat those kinds of teams, your quarterback better be ready.
See, that's the thing. Cowboys are losing with Dak doing amazing things. That's the problem.
Right.
That's
right.
The problem on that squad. They're a lot like the Falcons. On paper, they look like champions, but they don't play like it.
No, man. Paper champion! All right, let's go to Teddy Bridgewater. We saw him last week. Last year, Sean Payton told him, you can be a franchise quarterback again. Think about that. He's backing up Drew Brees, and here Payton is saying, you still got it.
I never really thought about that, but I've had conversations with Sean Payton. He always talked about the vision that he had for me, and the vision that he had for me, I'm living it right now. So, he just always talked about, trying to get me back to the position where, I have my own team and, I can just be on the center and starting on Sunday. So it's happening right now. I'm very appreciative that I had, that opportunity to spend 2 years there and just grow as a player.
Crazy,
cool.
Mike.
Yeah, I mean, we know how we feel about Sean Payton, but that's pretty cool.
All right, guys, it's our NFL Blitz. It's brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. While we're talking football, sign up for the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Rules for this nationwide contest available at radio.com/picks. Make your picks there, radio.com/picks, and get a shot to win $1,000 this week. I've got my picks already in. Are your picks in? No point spreads, no lineups, totally free to enter. Go do it. Dave Archer joins us next. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. It is our Tailgate at Home edition, which means we'll tell you what we've got cooking. Mike Conti, Bo Morgan will join us, and we'll run down what's happening this weekend. We want to hear from you guys as well. Find us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Let's bring in our buddy Dave Archer, analyst for our Atlanta Falcons, who joins us on Fridays, guys, to help us figure out what we're going to see on Sundays. And this has been a weird week, Arch. I mean, with the whole, shutting the facility down at least for a day. I know everything was virtual, kind of taking us back to the offseason. But the bigger thing was the coaching change, and how do you think that's going to affect the preparation and the readiness of this ball club?
Carl, real quickly, let me throw out my condolences to Vaughn McClure's family and those friends. We all got to know Vaughn and how hard he worked out there. Every time I saw Vaughn, I was out there four days a week, and every time I saw Vaughn, he was grinding on some story or some angle that he wanted to show the fan or give the fan a perspective about what was going on. I don't know how many times he and I sat and had conversations about the game. He tried to learn the game the best he could. He was phenomenal at how much he studied and tried to learn about the NFL. He was an NBA guy, as you guys know, but just really worked hard at it and just shocked and really horrified that we lose a guy at 48 years of age. But I just want to throw that out there and just let everybody know just how hard he worked and how important he was to the community here in Atlanta as far as reporting as to what was going on from our sports perspective. So I just thought I'd throw that out for you guys, okay?
Yeah. Absolutely, Arch. Thank you. Thank you for that. Charles Barkley came on, but a lot of people don't know that. He was an NBA guy and covered the league and before covering the NFL. So Charles gave his condolences as well. We all felt that yesterday, and I'm glad you were able to express that. Yes, no doubt about it. Rest in peace, Devon McClure. All right, let's.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's. And it's tough, man. Let's turn the page a little bit here. And as I was talking about our team and the preparation, do you think this coaching change, how does it affect that and the readiness of our team for Sunday?
Well, it's interesting, Carl, that these interim situations. This is my fourth interim coach in covering the Atlanta Falcons as the Atlanta Falcon Radio Network analyst. We've had guys that have taken over late in seasons. Wade Phillips took over. Emmett Thomas did it a couple times for two different guys. And now here's Raheem. Never had a guy take it over with everything left to play for. The season's still there. So there's a lot more carrots that he can dangle out there to get guys to realize that, hey, let's not give the season up. And I know a lot of fans would like to say, hey, let's forget about it. Let's get ready to draft somebody. But you got 11 games left. You could actually make history here. You could do something that is never been done before. They certainly have the talent on the team to do it. Now, can he pull them together? And that's what you're asking. Can there be a marketable difference in how they play for four quarters? Because we've seen it, right, guys? For two quarters, three quarters, they're as good as anybody they've lined up against. That includes Seattle and Green Bay or whoever you want to throw out there. They're as good as those teams, but they don't put it together for four quarters. And that'll be the real test for Raheem. Can he dial in? Can he find something that gets these guys to apply themselves to be situationally aware for four quarters to give you a chance to win? Because it's a good. You look at Minnesota and think, "Well, this is a down year for Miss." Pretty good now. They can get after you defensively, certainly on third down. They're good in the red zone on defense. And let me tell you something: you better buckle up your strap because they're going to run the football at you. They're running it to the tune of about 160 yards a game, so you better get ready for that too.
It is Dave Archer with the guys on the WadeFord.com hotline. Brought to you, by the way, by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, ESOG. You down with ESOG? Yeah, you know them. Here's the deal, Arch. Had the week a day off this week, which, again, kind of jacks with your preparation. The weirdness of, obviously, you know, the coaching was really classy of Raheem Morris to let, you know, Dan kind of say farewell to the troops, you know, on Monday. So, I mean, we saw, you know, other teams like, you know, and I don't know, that was born of frustration because they just hated Bill O'Brien's guts so much. But you saw the Texans go out there and really step it up under Romeo Crennel. So you do think that's a possibility. Just, if nothing else, where's your pride, Willie? And get out there and show something.
Well, you got a dramatic change, Mike, in the fact that Bill O'Brien's the play caller for the Texans, okay? So that's dramatically different. You just fired your offensive coordinator, play caller. That's not what Atlanta did. Atlanta still has their defensive play caller, still has their offensive play caller. So essentially you got rid of the guy that's making, you know, decisions in game, go for it, don't go for it, punt, kick the field goal. Those type of things. Run the, maybe occasionally getting on the headset and say, hey, let's run it here, or let's blitz here. So it's a different scenario than the Bill O'Brien scenario. But certainly, this should light a fire in anybody, because it just goes to show you that, you know what, if you don't get it done, the NFL stands for not for long. You're not going to be around very long if you don't do your job. Dan was the guy that took the brunt of this thing. He and Thomas were the two guys that took the brunt of it. But guess what? If it continues to go this way, there's other people that are on the line as well. That should resonate with a number of people.
What do you think about, you say you've been through these changes, obviously, just covering the team. What about Matt Ryan? How does this affect a quarterback when this kind of stuff happens?
Well, certainly it starts with the personal part of it, because Dan, extremely personable guy. He knew about everybody's families. He knew guys down to their core about who they were. When he talks about brotherhood, it's not just about guys coming together to play football. He knew those guys inside and out from a personal nature. And so that hurts Matt. That hurt, and it should hurt him. And it should hurt him that, you know, he was part of the reason why Dan's not here anymore. Certainly their inability to operate for four quarters offensively. But as far as the intricacies of the game this weekend, it does not affect Matt Ryan in the fact that he's got his play caller. They're still putting their game plan together. I think the more effect would be is who's on the field with him. If Julio can get back on the field, it changes things. So that would be where I would look to. And if there was ever a guy that was going to double down on his efforts to get ready to play, Matt Ryan's that guy.
It is a Dave Archer with us. He and Wes Sturm will have the call as Minnesota takes on the Falcons on Sunday. We talked about, you know, Todd Gurley and the pitch count. It's been, you know, a topic that, like, wow, how do we maximize this guy knowing you got to treat him gingerly? He was looking awesome. He was the FedEx ground player of the week. I mean, everything was clicking, and it just seems like, we've been on Cutter's ass. Is it Cutter in an untenable position because you just can't use him the way you would use a normal running back?
No, I think that they're, I don't see or hear anything about the fact that, okay, you know, Gurley's, we got to get him out of the game, you know, like a pitcher that's in the sixth or seventh inning. Okay, that's, you know, that's 100 pitches, so he's got to come out. I don't sense that. I have not heard that about Gurley. I thought he ran the ball, as you said, Mike, really well throughout. He had some second-half carries. Brian Hill had some second-half carries that were outstanding. I thought the team ran the ball extremely well. Gurley caught the ball more than this game than he did in previous games, so he got a little bit more of an opportunity to touch the ball outside of a realm of handing the football. I don't think there's any thought that he can't go any more or do any more than what he's already doing, and I think there was a matter of ramping him up to a certain extent. I think they certainly have done that through 5 weeks, and I would anticipate his workload to continue to increase.
Cool.
It is Dave Archer, guys, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, getting ready for the Vikings matchup this weekend. We talked a lot about the injuries and you know, how that's played a role, but it looks like, you know, we're on the mend, right? And some of these guys are going to come back, but what about just the stars of this team and how they are approaching this? Because, again, it's one thing to perform on the field, Arch, but you know this. I mean, the leadership in the locker room, when you're going through 0-5, 0-6, whatever it might be, 1-7, that's when things get stressful. That's when guys can get at each other. How does that play in this locker room now? Even though Dan Quinn has preached brotherhood, he's no longer here. What about the veterans on this team?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of respect for Raheem Morris. I know you guys have heard that, and people have talked about that. I think they respect the other coaches as well. But Raheem has a magnetism about him that commands respect, and there's a lot of guys that do. That's why, frankly, that's why Dan moved him from the right side, from the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball last year, albeit some feel like maybe a little bit too late. But still, he had a dramatic effect on that team a year ago as they switched over. So there's a lot of respect there, but you know, as much as you respect the coaches, you got to respect your teammates. And are you taking care of the guy next to you? Are you playing as hard as you possibly can? Are you preparing as you possibly can to get ready for the game? But you're right. The star players have to step up. Deion Jones, we've got to see him make some plays. He's a guy that has 9 career interceptions, 4 he's taken back for touchdowns. Really haven't heard much of anything from Deion so far this year. Boye Aluokun has probably been a little bit more active at the linebacker spot as far as making plays go. Keanu Neal and those guys who were part of that 16 draft, those guys are hurting because Dan was the guy that went out and got them. So now how do you pay homage to him? How do you go out and maybe flip the script? Those are the guys you're looking for to get that done. Ricardo Allen, who owes a lot to Dan Quinn in his switch from corner as a practice squad player to now a starting safety in the National Football League. Those are guys you'd like to think will step up and play at a higher level. But again, we can talk all we want to until they can lay it on the field for 4 quarters. That's what we're waiting to see as Falcon fans.
It is Dave Archer with us, and you mentioned, you know, obviously we hear you with Matt Ryan each week, and you talked about Matt, where his head's at. And knowing, Arch, when, you know, when the coach and the GM get fired and there's a sea change in the organization, and we were saying this earlier, we know what Matt's done in this town. We've seen the MVP season. You know, we've seen him where he's got no run game and no and really, let's be honest, you know, and the offensive line not really doing his job, and he's put up really big numbers. But this year he's struggling. And for the first time, I'm seeing him almost like seeing stuff that's not there, feeling pressure that sometimes is not there. Is that just a cumulative effect of being sacked 150 times in the last 3 years?
Well, I'd like to think that the years previous, Mike, don't come into play this year, but certainly Matt has not been as effective this year as he's been in years past. There's no question about that. I mean, he's got 9 consecutive 4,000-yard passing seasons. He's thrown for, 330 touchdowns in his career. So all those numbers certainly are great accolades to carry. That doesn't mean anything to the fan this year. They want to see a guy that still has the ability to stay on top of his game and make plays. I think the Julio Jones thing has been a big deal for them. Not having Julio on the field affects the defense and what the defense can do to you. It's a young receiving core that's kind of learning as they go. Olamide Zaccheaus, a good player, but he's learning this level. Christian Blake, nobody even knows who Christian is. He's done a good job on the practice squad of earning a way to be on this roster, but still, you've got guys that are trying to rise to the level of Calvin Ridley, and really Calvin's carried the torch. I mean, Calvin's got four 400-yard games in five games, so he's been the one guy that you've been able to count on. In the one game he doesn't have 100 yards, he doesn't even have a catch. So it's just been schizophrenic this year. It's really going to have to start with the physicality up front. Let's get Gurley going. Play action. I thought that last week, Carl and Mike, when we talked about a little bit about Gurley and the load, I thought there was an opportunity for Dirk to really expose last week in play action, their ability to come off of, because Gurley had it going, and you knew they were going to gang up against the run to stop the run in Carolina. I thought play action was in the offing there in the third quarter, early fourth quarter, and just didn't seem to get to it. And so that was disappointing for me. So, again, it's going to ramp up for the coach as well. Dirk's got to have a good plan this week. It's a Viking team that can get after the pass rush, and they're good on third down.
It's going to be interesting. We will see how it plays out. We'll be listening to you and Wes, and we'll talk to you next week about it. Arch, have a great weekend, man. Thank you so much.
You too, guys. Always good to talk to you.
There he is. Hey, Dave Archer.
And if you mentioned it earlier, Carl, Julio will be back, guys. We got the word today that he is not listed on the injury report, so we will see 11. Hopefully two can get with 11 and we can get 7.
All right, man. More on the Braves on the way. But when we come back, it's our tailgate edition of Yeah Man, No Man. We'll find out what everybody's got cooking. You can send your pictures, that is, to hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. Make sure you put the hashtag on there, man, and send them. We're coming back. Bo Morgan with Yeah Man, No Man next.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like we should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid-fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan.
All right, guys, it is Friday, which means, of course, hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home 2020. We've got more to get to. We are super excited about the opportunity to close out this Dodgers team tonight. We will see how it goes. Mike, again, Minter starting, right? That's the word. Minter?
Minter is coming. Jeez, get off me, cat. Cat's crawling all over me. Yeah, man, it's going to be A.J. Minter to start, and he has had a really good run going back to September. ERA was at 0.83. And obviously, if you're just looking at the numbers for his appearance in the NLCS, it won't look good because he did give up a home run. But he was, bringing the heat. You know what he comes with. You know, there was a chance he was going to be the closer there for a while. But, yeah, man, Minter will get the start. I love the idea of Matzik in that role. But, he got some work last night. So Minter will start. And the question is, how far can he go?
All right, we'll get more into that. Joe Patrick's going to join us, our Braves insider, at 4:20. Stay tuned. We'll get to the Braves right now. Let's find out what everybody's cooking. What's going on, Bo Morgan?
How you guys doing today?
Great, man. Beautiful Friday.
Freaking great. Everything is coming together, guys. The worm has turned.
Look, I tweeted last night. I said, you know what? I feel good about this. I think Kershaw can be had tonight, and I can't wait to see 3-1. And I was I'm not a freezing cold take today on Twitter because it worked out.
Yeah, it did, man. And you know, the thing was last night too, as it started to play out, and then we chased him, and then we got to that bullpen. It was just hit after hit, and Mike mentioned it. You get an RBI, you get an RBI, but after every one of them, you just were like, yeah, yeah. Hell yeah! It was like it just kept building, and it, you know, for everything that they did to us the night before, we came right back and slapped them, but only because of the start by Bryce Wilson. Let's not get it twisted. The kid gave us a chance to win last night.
The bulldog gave us a chance to win last night. Let me tell you something. We watched the game with the neighbors, and we were over at their place, and I know that I was just annoying them to no end, because when Ozuna hit the first one, I was like, get the plug out of here! And I was just screaming, and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa! And easy. Amy was getting on to me. But I was pumped. I mean, we need this. Our city has needed this. This is so dadgum exciting. I mean, I've got to do the Etowah game tonight, and I'm going to have my phone up with Fox on. I've got to. I have to see what's happening tonight.
Yeah, man, it's just been so exciting, as we said, when you, you know, again, and by the way, I love these folks out there going, oh, this doesn't really matter with this shortened season. Who the hell feels that way now? We're in it, okay? I mean, this is fall. This is where everything is so magnified. I mean, in Dodger fans now, I've seen some rationalizations on social media. It's like, get out of here, man. You guys, the pressure is squarely on your shoulders, even with the Braves not really having the quality. I mean, let's be honest, a real starting pitcher tonight. The Dodgers, Carl and Squid, they have gacked these things in these situations, and Clayton Kershaw didn't do much to, you know, improve his postseason resume yesterday.
No, he didn't. Go ahead, Bo.
Well, Mike, I would just say hopefully we can carry the momentum of what the sixth inning over until tonight. Yes. That's what I would say.
I sure hope so.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, Joe Buck with the real winner. All right, the Dodgers still not out of it, folks. We'll be back tomorrow. What the are you doing? But anyway, don't get me started. Anyway, go back to you, Squid. And where's Mike Conte? Is he out there too?
I'm here.
Hey, man. What's your take on? I know you're a play-by-play guy. I don't want to put you on the spot. Are you a Joe Buck guy, or does he bother you as much as he bothers me and other people?
Oh, boy. That's complicated.
I don't want to put you on the spot. Don't go there, then. Don't worry about it.
Here's what I would say. There is absolutely no doubt that Fox is peddling the Dodgers narrative as much as possible because they know – we don't have an inferiority complex here in Atlanta, but I will say this. They know – that their ratings are dependent on the Dodgers staying alive in this series and maybe making the World Series. Mm. So you're getting a lot of all Dodgers all the time chatter, and that post-game panel outside of Dontrell Willis has been deplorable in the way they've analyzed the series. But I have a stat for you guys before we talk about what we're grilling. And I'm a little nervous to say it because every time I presume that this series is a done deal, I get Braves Twitter after me and it gets a little testy. But I will say this. If the Braves make it, if they do it tonight or tomorrow or Sunday, you know, guys, there are only five cities that have had three or more appearances in a Super Bowl, Stanley Cup Final, NBA Finals, World Series, and or MLS Cup Final since 2017. And Atlanta would be one of them.
Wow. Mm.
So think about that. You know, we always want more. Mm-hmm. We always deserve more. But I would say this. Philadelphia can't say that. Cleveland can't say that. Well, Cleveland really can't say anything. Seattle, Phoenix, Miami, you know, all these other cities. We're talking about something in the last 3 years that only Boston, L.A., San Francisco, and Toronto have experienced, if the Braves can do this. So, like I said, we always want more. We deserve more. The city does need it. I agree with Bo. But we've had a pretty fun run here the last 3 years, and the Braves can add to it tonight.
Boy, I hope so. Good stuff, Conte. That's an interesting thing to keep in the back of our minds.
Hopefully, I didn't just jinx anything because
baseball
fans are very sensitive about jinx.
All right, I got to say this. Bo said this to me today, and I'll put this out there publicly to Bo. You know, we have to not be afraid. Problem is, okay, and Bo was saying that he was afraid after watching Bryce Wilson last night in the first couple of innings to say anything because he's like, I didn't want to jinx it. And I think that's natural for Braves fans. After the first inning, I felt confident as hell. I said to myself, I'm watching that, and I think I even tweeted it out. He's not clowning around. There's nothing wrong with being confident in your guys performing well.
Right.
It's okay. It's sports. So we shouldn't be afraid to do that. But I know what you're saying, Mike, because as soon as something goes wrong tonight, Conte said.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it happened on Tuesday, believe me. So I'm not going to tweet. Well, I'm not going to tweet during the game. I don't even know if I can stay awake for the whole thing. 9 p.m. first pitch is lousy.
Yeah, I'm a day drinker. At this stage, I'm a day drinker. I'm with you. We'll do our best, though.
It is.
You know, the funny thing was is it didn't hit me, guys. And I we'll get to the food, I know. It didn't hit me what was happening, really, until I think it was like the fourth inning, and I looked up and he had like 48 pitches or something. And I'm like, holy smokes. Like, it just hit me just how good. And you go back and watch, if you DVR the game, whatever, go back and watch the movement that Bryce Wilson was getting on his fastball. His fastball had movement. Like, you don't really see that kind of movement on 96 mile an hour pitches. And it was just virtually unhittable. So it was just amazing, amazing thing to watch. Real quick, I'll go ahead and get out of the way. I've actually doing double duty today. I had a bacon cheddar burger I threw on the Traeger earlier for lunch because, you know what? Because I earned it. And that's why. You know, I did my gym work. And I did my run. I said, you know what? I'm going to cook this. And then I've got two ribeyes. Got a good deal on some ribeyes. I got two ribeyes, putting a little rub on. I'm going to crank that sucker up and pull them to the edge of the Traeger and just cook them till I get to about 130 degrees and then flip them for another maybe 30 to 45 second minute just to get a little bit of char on the other side and pull them off and going to do some rice pilaf with it. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Nice.
That's good stuff. All right. Mike, you said you guys are having ribs, right? How's Becky preparing those?
Oh, she did, by the way, we did Mom and Matilda were supposed to go out to dinner with us last night. And Matilda's like, I don't feel safe. I'm like, oh, come on. So last night we had to do it on the fly. So Becky did like peppers and sausage, by the way. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So she's doing double duty. Tonight, though, we're doing the ribs. And I think we're using that same rib recipe we used last time, which I believe is a Cajun thing. And she's gonna do mac and cheese with chunks of bacon and andouille sausage in it.
Ooh, nice.
I know, I'm stoked. Ooh. So yeah, it's gonna be, and again, we're gonna set it up like Squid Billy. It's gonna be a late night affair, so we're gonna serve it about 9:30.
All right, real quick, Conti, and I'll let you have it. I'm gonna start putting the pictures out there. We're gonna do a pot roast just because it cooled off. Michelle was like, you know what, let's have the house smelling delicious. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna do a pot roast with all the things included, and she's got this great recipe for, you know, onion, celery, obviously the regulars, but this recipe calls for a couple of different things, and it's called, what is it? She gave me the recipe here. I'm looking at it because there are a dozen ways to do pot roast, obviously, but this particular one, I think it's going to spice it up just a little bit. So I'm trying to figure out. I'm looking at this recipe. I should have done.
That was like the Twilight Zone. Mike Conti to serve man. It's a cookbook.
Well, yeah. I'm with Carl. I think we're in roast and stew season right now. So, but I cannot tell a lie. We have my niece and nephew in town from Indianapolis, and they're very picky eaters. So I'm almost appalled to say this. Boneless wings tonight with tater tots.
That's all right.
But,
hey,
but when they good. When that's they good. Leave, when they leave on Sunday, I have a couple wow. days off. I have a recipe. I've got to call Connor over at Buckhead Butcher Shop and see right. if he can get me this. I have a recipe for chili with duck confit. And, ooh. Like, duck sausage, duck bacon. So nice. I'm hoping I can pull that off, and I'll have photos of it in a couple days. I did a dual turkey breast last night. I seasoned one with the Dizzy Pig holiday rub and the other with the Dizzy Pig barbecue rub.
That Dizzy Pig's the joint, man.
Oh, man, it's great. And I'll tell you, I did it on cherry wood. The smoke ring on the turkey was just pristine. But everyone liked the barbecue over the holiday. So just, you know, for future reference, I guess, barbecue turkey's going to be the way to go for us.
Nice. All right. This has got cognac, wine. Oh man, it's got a bunch of stuff in it. I'm gonna post the recipe up so you guys can check it out. So I'll be stuffing my face probably like you guys said late tonight watching the Braves. Hopefully finish this thing off with the Dodgers.
They're gonna do it.
I think so too, Conti. Have a great weekend. By the way, send us your pictures, Mike Conti.
Just not tonight, Mike, as you slum it, but later in the weekend.
Mike Conti 929, Squid Billy 929, Mike Bell ATL. I'm gonna put them up. See Dukes # Dukes and Bell tailgating home, guys. Let us know what you're cooking. Let's get out of here, Bo Morgan.
Mike, I'm sure that your nephew and niece will love the chicken nuggets you're making them tonight.
Boneless wings.
Guys, yes, chicken nuggets. Guys, a big shout-out to Connor and all the folks down at Buckhead Butcher Shop. I'm actually thinking about rolling by there hopefully Sunday after a Falcons win.
Real quick, Bo, before we leave, I got to give a big shout-out to Katie last week. Brought me the butter I needed for the shrimp. Thank you, Katie. Appreciate you. Big hugs for everybody. Appreciate you. All right, sorry, had to mention that.
Ken, hit the music.
Boom. Buckhead Butcher Shop, guys, on the short side of Far Road in Buckhead. It really is. It is like the ultra lounge for men and women and meat.
Great point. Hey, we're coming back. When we do, it doesn't get any bigger than this weekend. I'm going to tell you how the Dogs are going to beat Alabama next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.